Grace and peace to you from God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. Have you ever lost something really important? Not like car keys or reading glasses, which at my house get lost on a daily basis, but something that is truly important to you. Your wedding ring, or a relationship, or a job. When my oldest son was little, he went through a stage which is probably familiar to many parents. He loved to sneak away and hide while we were shopping. Now, usually my mom radar had him in sight so that even if I wasn't exactly watching him, I knew exactly where he was. My kids have wondered about the way we moms seem to have eyes in the back of our heads, and all I can say is the radar is real. We pretty much always know where you are. But once we were at JCPenney and I got caught up shopping, comparing colors or prices or something, and I really lost him. I was desperately looking around behind at all the racks of clothes and looking between, you know, the rows of pants and the wall and trying to find him there. And I had this knot of dread and fear starting in my stomach. I was calling, "Evan, Evan." And an employee came by and, you know, asked if they could help, and they radioed all the employees to watch and for this little boy. Finally, I don't know if he heard the panic in my voice or just was done with the game, but he came out from his hiding place. I swept him up in my arms and the relief and joy was so strong. Disaster averted. I admonished him not to scare me and myself to pay better attention. But all was right with the world again, because there he was with me. The parables that we read today are like that. Parables of precious things lost and found. Stories of the pain of separation and the joy of being reunited. But even more than that, they are stories of celebration. Right here in the middle of Lent, we are reading stories about parties, God parties. God celebrating when the ones God thought were lost are found again. And for that moment, all is right with the world because God's beloved is once again held in God's arms. Now, the first two parables seem to focus on lost things that are not that valuable. One sheep among 100, one coin. Do these things warrant the search and even more the celebration that the story tells? But perhaps that is part of the point. Jesus tells these stories in response to the grumbling of the religious law keepers of the day, who complain that he is eating with tax collectors and sinners. These good religious folks see the sinners Jesus spends time with as undesirable, contemptible, unworthy. They ought to be beneath the notice of someone like Jesus, yet he shares table fellowship with them. But the parables tell a different story. What the good religious folks see as unworthy is precious to God. God is like the shepherd who will leave the 99 obedient sheep who followed him home and go after the one that wandered off. God is like the woman who searches high and low for a coin, maybe a last coin or maybe a lucky penny, we don't know. And then when the coin is found, she invites the neighbors for a party. The response of celebration seems all out of proportion with the item found, but that's just what the story is trying to tell us. God rejoices when anyone who has been lost is returned to the fold. The third story is more complex. A youngest son takes his inheritance and he uses up all the money and finds himself destitute and starving in a pigsty. He comes to himself, remembering the home he had, that even the servants in his father's house have food to eat. But pause for a moment and listen to that phrase. That lost son, that one who has exiled himself from home by his poor choices, comes to himself. He remembers who he is. He remembers who his father is. And he decides to return home and see if he will find life there. He is uncertain returning home. He knows he's blown it. So he prepares his speech, his contrite apology, and simple request. I know I no longer deserve to be a son, but even if I can be a servant in your home, Father, that would be better than what I have now. How do we feel about the son's return? We might think that he has some nerve coming home after wasting dad's money. Or we might rejoice to see him return, guessing at the pain of separation felt by those left behind. Many pages have been written about whether that lost son is really contrite. Is he really repenting? Has he changed his mind and his heart? Or is he just returning to take advantage of his father again? As it happens, it doesn't matter. His father sees him out on the road and runs to meet him. The son barely starts his speech, "Father, I," when his father is hugging him and calling for a celebration. Others might see a worthless son, a betrayer, a sinner. But the father sees only a beloved one, believed lost, but now returned to him. Notice that the younger son doesn't get to keep control of the homecoming. He doesn't get to use his script. He may even feel uncomfortable at the way his father is acting, sensing the judging stares of his father's household, catching the glare of his older brother over his father's shoulder. He may be taken aback. A few minutes ago, as we were speaking the confession, some of you noted that I broke in and offered the forgiveness just as you got started. Because of Zoom and the way Zoom works and that I don't have a microphone stronger than yours, some of you went right ahead and finished. So this is something that, you know, didn't work quite the same with our Zoom call. But the point is that God isn't wondering if you are worthy to return. God just rejoices when we come to confess and be reconciled. And so if you were genuinely aware of sin and repentant as you read those words, God forgives you. If you were not thinking about the words, but just reading them from the bulletin because they're bold print, God forgives you. If you were sitting at your computer playing a video game on your phone, God forgives you too. God forgives you and welcomes you home, not because you deserve it, but because God created you and loves you and longs for your return. For some of us, that idea of grace is harder to understand. How can God want me back, even knowing all these things I've done or thought or said or all that idea, if they really knew me? But God does. God does know you, and God does want you to come home. For me, the theme of Lent is always this invitation to return. Return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's the work of Lent, whatever that means to you, however you practice that in your life. Return to the Lord your God. It is an invitation, not an assignment for you to pass or fail. In the midst of loss or pain, when you feel lost or alone, come to yourself and remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Return to the Lord your God, who is waiting to welcome you home with arms wide open. Thanks be to God. Amen.